Well, what's happening in the world? Lots happening. It's a scary place at the moment, isn't it? I notice that the House of Representatives in America has finally approved billions of dollars in new US military aid for Ukraine to help combat Russia's invasion. The bill had been before Congress for quite some time. American leaders getting more nervous and nervous about how much support they should give Ukraine and how much support they should give Israel. There's a presidential election coming up in November. The Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky described the US support as vital. He said World War III could happen if something isn't done soon. And speaking of Americans, Donald Trump, on Friday, he denies 34 counts of falsifying business records in relation to a $130,000 payment made by his lawyer to buy the silence of a porn star. Paying a porn star hush money is not a crime. How you claim how that money was spent and falsifying that is, and it's a criminal offence. So we could have the leader of the free world not so free, because he can actually still be president from behind bars. It's a funny place, isn't it? And just what is the latest on the Israel, and will Israel heed the United Nations and show some restraint? Let's talk about that and all sorts of other things with our expert in foreign affairs. First time back for a long time. It's good to have him back. Dr. Keith Suter, good morning to you.
Thank you.
Sunrise, but you're back up and at it, eh?
Absolutely.
Well, Keith, so much going on in the world, and I don't know where to start. I do want to... we'll start with Israel and Iran. Where is this heading? Because Israel has been asked to show restraint, and I know a lot of the world depends on Iran for oil, but it's pretty serious. You don't poke this bear, do you?
No, it's a very dangerous situation. Since we had the invasion of Iraq in 2003, Iran has been able to fill some of the vacuum created by the overthrow of Saddam Hussein. And so Iran is becoming far more powerful in the Middle East, and it hates Israel. And Iran has a number of proxies like the Hezbollah in Lebanon. And so it's actually finding ways of attacking Israel indirectly through these various proxies. But then what we saw a few days ago was that for the first time ever since the Iranian Revolution in 1979 was a direct attack by Iran on Israel in retaliation for a raid that Israel had carried out a short time before. Now, most of the missiles fired by Iran were brought down by American and Israeli defense facilities. Mm. And so the Americans said to Israel, look, you've proved to Iran that you can withstand an Iranian attack from the Iranian mainland. Mm. Just leave it at that. And so, you know, the fear that President Biden has got, and that includes also the Australian government, is that we will see tit-for-tat raids against Israel and Iran, which will then spill over into a much larger conflict. Israel ignored that warning and went ahead and launched an attack on Isfahan, which is a major, which is Tehran, and which is a home for a lot of the nuclear facilities. Iran, very interestingly, actually had what it claims was live TV footage after the attack, and you can't actually see any smoke rising. So Iran was trying to talk it down. Meanwhile, in Israel itself, the extreme right of Benjamin Netanyahu's cabinet are saying, look, that's not good enough. We've got to go harder against the Iranians. So it's still a dangerous situation. The Americans don't want this to escalate. The Iranians are also being careful because they've got their own, you know, hardliners in Iran as well. You know, they want to go after and destroy Israel. Mm. But the Iranian government at the moment is trying to cool it down. So it's a knife-edge situation which could go one way or the other in the next few days.
And not to mention the control over shipping in the Mediterranean Sea.
Red Sea.
And the Red Sea.
Absolutely.
Red Sea.
And it caused disruption to the trade. Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. Keith Suter is with us, expert on international affairs. Speaking of the United States, I noticed that the Ukraine Prime Minister has said there could be a third world war if Ukraine conflict with Russia, and he's urged the US Congress to pass along some foreign aid, some more foreign aid.
Yeah, so this is, and good news for Ukraine, they've now just approved $61 billion in new aid to Ukraine, or at least they're moving in that direction. The actual final signing of the document will be done probably by Tuesday. So that is certainly good news. It's been held up for the lower house. The Senate has been supportive of it, but the lower house is dominated by the Republicans, some of whom are dominated by Donald Trump, who does not approve of aid going to Ukraine. And so the Speaker of the House has actually, well, for a while, bowed to pressure from Donald Trump. But it's interesting that the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, has actually now facilitated the vote in the lower house to ensure that the foreign aid will go to Ukraine, Israel and Taiwan. So that is certainly very good news for Ukraine. The war overall is not going that well for Ukraine. Obviously, the mere fact that Ukraine has been able to withstand the Russians for the past 2 years is good news. Certainly bad news for President Putin, who said that it was going to be a 10-day special military operation. He said that 2 years ago. Certainly got that wrong. But there is increasing pressure, I think, on Ukraine to go to the negotiating table and agree that eastern Ukraine, currently occupied by Russia, should be given over to Russia. So that is what I call the Korean version of what could happen, that should end up with Ukraine being split, most of it remaining as free, but the eastern slice of it will go under Russian control. However, by agreeing to this extra funding and helping with the defense of Kyiv, Ukraine buys time before it's forced into that negotiating table situation.
Keith, how do you think the American voting public feels about support of Ukraine and America's support of Israel?
I think in both cases, they're getting a bit tired. They seem to be spending a lot of money on both conflicts. I think that the conflicts are not quite that similar in the sense that the border of Israel, right from the beginning in 1948, its interest in Ukraine is much more recent. And so I think Democrats generally are supportive of Ukraine. Democrats and Republicans are supportive of Israel. And, of course, the Christian vote, which is conservative Republicans, supporting Donald Trump of Israel for their own religious agenda. So I think that there is some domestic support still, but America is getting tired. It's spending a lot of money on war.
It is. It is indeed. Keith Suter is with us. Keith, speaking of America and Donald Trump, I mean, pictures of him sitting in a courtroom again, except this time it's pretty serious. It's a criminal charge this time. Where do you see this going?
Well, as you say, first time an ex-president has ever appeared in court. So the charge that he's having to confront is that there are falsifying business records. That's the actual problem. Now, what happened is that the allegation is that in the 2016 election, money was paid to an adult film star, a porn star, to keep her quiet about an alleged affair that she'd had with Donald Trump. The sum of money was $130,000 legal to pay hush money to a porn star.
Yes.
The problem... This is America. Yeah. The problem was how they actually accounted for it in the business record.
Yeah.
And so the allegation is that Donald Trump paid a series of checks to his lawyer, Michael Cohen, who did go to jail over this, paying a series of checks to Michael Cohen and called it legal expenses rather than hush money paid. that's what it turns on. There are a total of 34 counts of falsifying business records. It's a really low-level sort of thing.
It really is, isn't it?
But the prosecution, this helped to Donald Trump to win the election in 2016. But you're right. You know, he's now having to appear in court. He's got to appear every day. We know he sleeps badly at night. and likes to get up late, but he's now having to get up to be in court.
Oh, dear. How the hell do you find a jury that wouldn't have an opinion?
Well, that's what they've spent the past week doing. They reckon they have. But my guess is they could easily have overlooked a latent Trump supporter. Remember, we had that scandal in Queensland where a former premier went on trial, and there was a member of the jury who was very much a supporter of the premier, who made sure the premier got off as a not guilty. And the prosecution just gave up. They didn't bother to bring the charges against the ex-premier for a second time. So that is clearly the risk this time round. Yeah.
Interesting stuff. Great to have you back, Liam. As I said, we've missed you dearly. And you take care. We'll talk soon, yeah?
Indeed. Thank you.